You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Reminder to read the full rankings. They're all on NBCSports.com if you want to keep up with them there. As we
or RotoWorld.com.
Or RotoWorld.com.
Right.
There's whatever a little Matthew Berry tab. It's very easy for you if you want to find
you have
out.
Your own
I have
tab.
My own tab.
One of the great tabs.
One of the best tabs.
Top 10 tab.
Top 10 tab. Some people are saying it's the best tab in the universe. Not me, of course, but some people are saying
Oscar
it's
nominated
the greatest
tab.
It's the greatest tab of all tabs.
Narrowly lost to Oppenheimer.
Ever. Right, great exactly. Tab. It's the Oppenheimer of tabs. It's not the Barbie of tabs.
No, yes, Barbie lost.
Yes, exactly.
Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Matthew Berry, served by Applebee's.
Welcome to the Fantasy Football Happy Hour. I'm Connor Rogers alongside Matthew Berry, Jay Croucher. After a week off, fellas. Recharged, rested,
yeah,
ready
feel
to
great.
Go?
Yeah, I feel great. I'm ready to go. Did you get your tab in the week that I was gone?
No.
How about you?
No.
Still no.
Kind of got a mustache, though, in the week that he was gone.
On accident.
It's like a Leonardo DiCaprio and Blood Diamond type of operation.
No, like it's more like, you know what it is? Here's what it reminds me of.
Oh, boy.
Do you remember, like you see, like, kids that are, like, 14 years old, and they're so excited they finally been able to grow facial hair, and they're like, look, it's coming in, right? And you're like, it's like peach fuzz that's been there for 2 months.
Right.
That's what it looks like with Connor. Like, Connor finally hit puberty, and now he's excited to show everyone
Let
that he
rock.
Can grow facial hair.
So it's more like Leonardo DiCaprio and What's Eating Gilbert Grape.
Set the clock back, what, 10 years?
Or Growing Pains.
Sure.
People forget Leonardo DiCaprio did a couple episodes on Growing Pains, an 80s sitcom starring Kirk Cameron. Former teen heartthrob. By the way, Jay Croucher also has kind of the weak, you kind of have the weak facial hair as well. Yeah. And like,
the so you
like
shadow.
How often do you shave?
I shave every two, 3 days.
Yeah. How about you?
About every 5.
Yeah, exactly. I have to shave every day. Okay. I have to shave every single day. Otherwise, there would be growth.
Well, you have more time. Because you don't have to maintain.
No, exactly. That's right. It's gone from here to here and, you know,
are you
elsewhere.
James Harden?
Yeah, pretty much. I could be. I could be. Anyway, good to see you guys as well.
Good
of course,
to see you.
Croucher, of course, you know, the one day he didn't shave is when they took the Bet the Edge
podcast
photo as well. So it's appropriate, of course, that you are doing Bet the
I'll
Edge later today. You're committing podultry. Yeah.
I told you before the show so you wouldn't get upset. You got it all out before the cameras were on.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. I appreciate being like, I'm going to cheat on you.
Yes.
But it doesn't count because I'm telling you ahead of time.
With the hall pass.
Right, exactly. Honey, I'm going to the bar tonight to pick somebody up. It doesn't count, you know. You're not going to run into a hotel room and catch me because I'm literally, you know, I'll be in the hotel room.
Yes. I have permission.
Permission for a sin.
Yeah. Exactly. But here's my question. Did you tell Sims? Because you're all over Sims,
and
too.
And I'm back with Sims Monday.
Of course you are.
Yep.
Yeah.
World tour.
Yeah, God forbid Sims get his own podcast hosts. You know,
It's busy.
Exactly.
He's got a lot going on.
Yeah, God forbid. Why didn't he drag Florio out of his West Virginia?
That'll never happen.
Because Sims does Florio show every day, basically, over on Pro Football Talk. But Florio never shows up on Sims.
No, it's a one-way relationship.
It's a very one-way relationship.
Yeah, it makes you wonder.
This is, okay, here's what we got to do. What we need to do is we need to start bringing this up about how Sims just completely takes Florio for advantage. How it's completely one-sided and everything like that. You know, like, and just
the conflict.
Yeah, just like, let's try to divide from within. Exactly. So this will be our thing.
Our
let's get them warring. Yeah, I mean, we already saw there was some, because they got into an argument on air.
I think it was about the Bills.
Yeah, about the Bills. But let's get it about, you know, podcast appearances and other things. Like, let's throw a few grenades out in there.
It's a good strategy for 2024. Company mission.
Not much going on in the offseason.
Yeah.
Break up Florio and Sims.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Because then we could slide into that time slot and maybe get a few more resources. Mm. This is all.
I don't know if you'd like the 7 to 9 slot.
Yeah. What?
You'd like the 7 to 9 slot?
No. you would do that.
Oh, what are you doing then? You said we're sliding into that time slot.
I'm on the Sims twice a week schedule.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I'll take over the Sims Unbuttoned twice a week schedule.
There we go.
You guys do the Pro Football Talk schedule in the morning.
For you.
Yeah, I roll in. I just curse for an hour, twice a week, roll out.
Go home?
Yeah, exactly. I don't unbutton my shirt. Boom, I'm Chris Sims.
That's pretty good.
Why is that? Why is it called unbuttoned when he buttons his top button?
I asked him that. I said, is that why you button? No, I literally said to him like the first time, I think I said this to him on air, when I did the show like once, I think. And I said like, is it called unbuttoned because, you know, you're so known for like buttoning the top button? He's like, no, it's just because I'm like, and I just kind of hang loose and I'm, you know, just more casual on this. I'm like, he's like, oh, I hadn't thought about that.
So I'm going to blame Pete here. Yeah. Somehow this is Pete's fault.
This is backup producer Pete's fault because that's his main job.
So there are only two people who have ever done up top buttons. Chris Sims and then the film director David Lynch, who walked around the top button as well. They're the only two people who do it on the planet. And his show is called Unbuttoned. It's ridiculous. He must be confronted.
Yes. Next time, when you're on Sims Monday,
I will ask.
You should confront him that.
Yes.
And you say, and here's what you say. So I don't need to bring it up, but Florian was bitching about it. You just kind of, you don't understand what I'm saying? Just like, again, we've got to, like, this is a long play. This is like other countries doing this to us.
Like
it's like, this is like we're sowing seeds of doubt.
It's basically Inception 2, which strangely never got made, but should. But yeah, we're planting the seeds in Cillian Murphy, right, Chris Sims.
Yeah, well. Every show from
we'll do it like, again, we'll do it like what other countries do to us. So like we will start fake Facebook pages. We'll have our uncles talk about the rift between Sims and Florio.
Build some bots.
Reply, yeah, bots. Exactly. A lot of memes.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. We got it.
We get Denny Carter involved somehow.
Oh, 100%.
Yes.
Yeah. By the way, and whatever we need Lawrence to do, you know, he's down.
Lawrence is down.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's
all right, good. All right, good.
So all right, we got a lot on the show today besides nonsense, believe it or not. It is silly season leading into the NFL draft next week. We are going to discuss where top prospects should go, not where they will go, as well as fantasy-friendly spots. We'll wrap up the show, of course, with our news and notes around the league, including Tom Brady once again flirting with a return to football. We'll get into that. Yeah. Before we do, we got to talk about who drinks free today. Unchecked emails drink free.
And I think
we
now?
We have a little bit of an intervention.
Okay.
Here on this one.
Sure.
Yeah. Unchecked emails drink free because, Matthew, your inbox.
Yeah.
This gave me chills when you tweeted this.
Yeah.
How many unread emails?
I guess it's 228,033. At the moment, it's. Look at that. I've made some progress.
Nice. 228,006.
Wow. So there you go.
Damn.
You've gotten through a couple.
I've gotten through a couple.
Yeah, checked a few missed calls.
All right. So I can explain it a little bit. First off, number one is I own a decent amount of businesses, right? Like we've talked about FantasyLife.com and RotoPals, Club 69.
Yes.
I have an email address for each one of my businesses, right? In addition to, I have my personal email address. I have my public-facing email address, which is my Twitter handle at Gmail, which is filled with spam. Like, knock yourself out. Like, it's nothing but spam.
That has to be ruined, that email address.
Yeah, oh, it's awful. And people sign me up for all sorts of stuff, you know, and like, you know, just like, you know, anyway, like, you know.
Yeah, we don't need
to. It's like a bunch of, I'll leave it at this, like this, I'll try to, you can just only imagine. That email address gets signed up for a number of very specific dating sites. Very specific. Very, very niche. Yes. So I just went everything, yeah, unsubscribe and whatever. But, so I have my personal email address. I have the public one. I have my NBC corporate email address. I have email addresses for all those businesses. And then back in the day, I used to have an old AOL address. I have it, I guess. But so one of the reasons why that number is so crazy is because I still have access to the old AOL account because there are occasional things that I signed up for way back in the day using that AOL account. And then if I forget a password, I just need access to that. I never use that. It's filled with tons and tons of spam, and I've never gone through, bothered to, like, you know, get
AOL
rid of it.
Yeah,
but I need access to that email box just in case there's, like, three things where my password is my email at AOL.com, and so if I can, you know, anyway, it's, you know, so that's partially it. And then the texts are, you know, I don't know, half of that. Like, I don't know. I get a lot of texts.
It's a giant mess.
I get a lot of texts. It's a disaster.
You're still one of one. Like, it's kind of ridiculous. I have right now I have 3,000 unread, so I'm down by 225,000. But getting on you quickly. I don't know. It just kind of gets away from you these days.
Yeah, I just I don't even know how to I need to hire someone to come in and
probably worth the investment.
Yeah, to clean it all up. But then I'm also whatever.
Okay, well, you and all your 228,000 unread.
Let's get into this. Connor Rogers has been doing work. I was on vacation all last week, but Connor Rogers has actually been doing work.
This is Connor's time of the year.
Yeah,
draft next week. He's grinding the film, doing his mocks and everything, but what we're going to do today, we're going to do not what you think will happen, but what you would do.
And what should happen.
Yes.
Basically,
so
let's
over-introduce the concept like we do on this show. So this is if you were the GM and your mock draft in that sense.
For every team.
For every team. You would do. This is the only one I do out of the year. Every other draft, mock draft is predictive. Mm. This is the one time where it's like, let's put all this aside. We're tired of talking about six quarterbacks in the top 12 and all of that. Here are the best players.
This is not what you think will happen. No. This is what
There's
you think
no
should happen.
Chance this
if
will
these
happen.
If these general managers were as smart as Connor Rogers, and they're not, none of them are. No. But if they were, this is what they would do.
That's right.
So look away, Michigan fans, as we dive into the mock.
Don't hang around too long.
So we're going to take a look at your notable selections because Caleb Williams is going one, no surprise. But you have Drake May going two to Matthew's Commanders, which I don't think is going to happen at this point because
Jaden
Daniels is now a minus 350 favorite on DraftKings to go to. But you would take Drake May.
I would. Now, I think there's more bust potential with Drake May, but I just like the ceiling. I think he sees the middle of the field much better, throws the middle of the field much better, bigger body, better arm. And I think his mobility has become drastically underrated because everybody's fixated on 2023 where his offense, quite frankly, sucked. The line was bad. The play calling was bad. He didn't stand a chance back there. Yes, Jaden Daniels is a good quarterback prospect. He's on this graphic for a reason. He goes to the Broncos at 12 here. I do have some concerns about him handling pressure and some of the hits he'll take with that slender frame, but you love the running ability. But for Washington, I would personally go Drake May, who's my QB2 in this draft.
Okay. And then, not necessarily chalky, but Marvin Harrison, Malik Mabers, the top two wide receivers, and they go 3 and 4 to you. And then Brock Bowers to my New York Giants, followed by Roma Dunze. And then you're very high on Michael Penix relative to these other quarterbacks.
Yeah, I am. He's QB3 for me. I look at Penix, his pocket presence, his arm. He's got a howitzer of an arm. The pre-snap ability is probably more advanced than any other quarterback in this draft, and he's a guy that we've seen it on the big stage. Yes, the last game we remember of him against Michigan was not great. The game before that against Texas was the best game of any prospect at quarterback this season. So I look at the Raiders. Gardner Minshew's there. He could start out the season. They don't have a long-term answer. Penix would be a long-term answer.
So according to you, my Commanders are going to use the second overall pick and use it on the fourth best quarterback.
Yeah, I would stand by that.
Good times.
But
good times. We're back, baby.
That's
We're
consensus.
Back.
High upside. Yeah,
it's consensus. You know what's funny with Jaden Daniels? I think the floor is better. He's a good touch thrower. He's a great runner. When you can run, it gives you a floor. I don't know if he'll ever develop into a great pocket passer. I think he has the weakest arm of the top six quarterbacks. It's not a bad arm. It's just not by far, not even close to the strongest arm.
But I know there are a lot of underlying metrics that show basically he takes too much pressure.
He bails, and it's
a very bad stat. And the people that are the quarterbacks that have come out that have been very poor in this stat in terms of taking pressure have generally not worked out in the NFL. Like the list of big name bust quarterbacks often are all on the same list that Jaden Daniels is in terms of they take too much pressure.
Yep. That's right.
And if we learned anything about Matthew in Vegas is that he doesn't like people who bail on him.
No.
He was supposed to meet at the
That's
registration
right.
desk at the Venetian.
Just saying. Like we had a plan.
Going elsewhere.
Like, listen, you don't want to listen to me, listen to Jack Nicholson. Like, if you don't follow the plan, people die. That's what happens.
It came close.
That's what happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, you killed us repeatedly with various big name NFL stars.
Exactly.
My name being slandered to Saquon Barkley.
That's right. You know why? Because I'm on that wall. You need me on that wall. You want me on that wall.
Yeah.
Well, me and Emmett Smith.
I was going to say Emmett Smith's out there still arbitrary. Yeah. Arbitrating.
He was
this.
So baffled
this
by
amazing.
Everything. All right. Let's take a look at the back end of the first round, starting off with Brian Thomas Jr. going to the Steelers at 20.
Well, this is where it gets more fun. Brian Thomas Jr., the size and speed. I mean, really, to me, he's very similar to Christian Watson, that kind of vertical threat for the Steelers. Russell Wilson, get him throwing the ball down the field again, those moon balls we always joke about. You look at Troy Franklin for the Bills, another vertical threat, kind of a not as fast as Will Fuller, but plays a similar style. I mean, the Bills got to throw the ball down the field, and Josh Allen, his arm is limitless. You look at Jalen Polk. I mean, he's one of the toughest players in this draft. Great run blocker. Concentration is off the charts. Will work the middle of the field. Better athlete than give it credit for. I think he's quietly leaning towards going in the first round. I know DraftKings has had his odds above plus 300, so there might be some value there. And when you look at the Chiefs,
Jalen Polk going in the first round.
Yeah, and then you look at the Chiefs with Ricky Pearsall. I don't think this one will happen, but Pearsall can play inside and outside. He constantly generates separation. He catches everything. The Chiefs just don't have a guy like that. It frustrates you.
Yeah. Do you think the Rashee Rice situation impacts at all the Chiefs' decision-making?
Yeah, I think they have to take a wide receiver.
I mean, like, you go back to, like, different situations, everything like that, but this is a little bit like there were a concern. The reason they drafted Mecole Hardman in the second round was because there were off-the-field concerns about Tyreek Hill that year, and that ended up getting resolved. But, like, that was a big – like, Mecole Hardman wasn't on their radar that year, like, or even wide receiver, but then they went out and drafted, like, a speed guy – in the second round,
and he was more of a third round projection that year.
Yeah, they like it seemed like they sort of reached for Mecole Hardman because he was like the, it felt like the closest comp to Tyreek Hill in the draft that they could, you know, just whatever a speed guy that could run some of those routes, and you know, years later and two teams later, he ends up catching a touchdown to win the Super Bowl for them. So it all worked out for the Chiefs. Pearsall, though, it's interesting. Ricky Pearsall, I don't see Ladd McConkey here. You don't think Ladd McConkey's a first-round guy?
I don't, but he'll go in the top 40, 45 picks. It's just a deep wide receiver class that he got a little lost in, I'd say.
So in my most recent Dynasty rookie draft that I did, where you and I were texting, you were helping me out, and I took Ladd McConkey. I should have taken Ricky Pearsall, is what you're telling me, because he was there.
Drafting before the draft happens is a hell
it's,
of a
well, game. It's stupid Scott Barrett. It's his dumb league and his dumb
I think
rules.
You did pretty good.
I did pretty good. I got Marvin Harrison. Mm. I got Ladd McConkey. I got Tyrone Tracy, which is Connor's sleeper guy. Okay. Everyone in the league got pissed when I took him.
Yeah, which is the best
Connor's
feeling.
Sleeper guy.
Just because you mentioned Marvin Harrison, there's been some chatter about, you know, some people have Malik Nabers above Marvin Harrison. Yeah. Some people even have Roma Dunze high relative to Harrison. Do you see that he exists as his kind of own tier after the quarterbacks?
No, I think him and Malik are side by side. Now, I think Marvin Harrison, to me, is the best player in the draft. So, yes, you could argue then you could say he's in his own tier. But Malik is really special. They're just different. Like, what do you need? Do you need a guy that is explosive with and without the ball, or do you need a big-bodied player, good route runner, make things happen when the play breaks down? That's Marv. So it's a matter of what your receiving group needs.
Yep. Okay, let's talk about best quarterback landing spots. Start off with Caleb Williams, who, I mean, it's kind of
he's
a
got
great
it.
Point.
Yeah, he's got it. He's going to the Chicago Bears. They added Keenan Allen. They added DeAndre Swift. DJ Moore, who was my comparison from Malik Nabers, by the way. The offensive line's starting to gel together. I think this offense is going to be very good.
But and they added Gerald Everett, which seems like whatever. But like you know, like
Gerald Everett,
I do have a soft spot for Gerald Everett. But honestly, Gerald Everett and Cole Kmet all of a sudden now, like I mean, like those are two viable pass catchers, you know, that are suddenly in the mix there for a young quarterback.
Yep. Okay, Jaden Daniels, where is his best landing spot?
That's a good question because then you start to really go down the board. I don't mind the Commanders landing
spot. The CFL? Go ahead. Is it the CFL? Is it the UFL?
Yeah, I actually...
Should he be a Birmingham Stallion?
No, I would say the Commanders is a fine landing spot, man.
Of course. What do you care?
Eviscerating poor Jaden Daniels. I mean, to me, the best landing spot for him in terms of comfort is the Raiders. Antonio Pierce recruited him when he coached him in high school. He recruited him to Arizona State. Devontae Adams is there. Jacoby Myers is there. They would be able to go very run heavy and not just run, you know, to the running back, but get involved with him in the running game as a quarterback. So I would say the Raiders for Jaden Daniels. And I actually would get, you know, if you look at somebody like Drake May, I would look at the Giants. When you look at a lot of the things Drake May is good at, he's not Josh Allen. Nobody's Josh Allen, but Brian Daboll.
But he's also not Daniel Jones.
He's not Daniel Jones. So I think when you look at what Brian Daboll was able to build with Josh Allen, he could implement a lot of those things with Drake May. And he would get to sit because Daniel Jones and Drew Lock would probably have a better chance to play. I think Drake May needs some time to season and marinate a little bit.
Yep. Do you think they do take a quarterback? Or what do you think will happen?
This is what I heard with the Giants. The situation is if New England answered the phone, the Giants would be interested in going up to 3 for a quarterback. A lot of people think it's starting to lean the other way where with Robert Kraft's influence, the Patriots are starting to think, hey, we got to take a quarterback. Like, this is we're up here this year. Morale is very low around that team in terms of the fan base.
Yep.
I think New England went from, hey, they're going to take either the best player or they're going to trade the pick to, no, we're in on the quarterback class. So the Giants, They might want one, but I think they're just frozen out right
okay.
now.
So. Yep.
And you don't think they trade down to 4 to Arizona? Because there's a chance that Denver, the Raiders, or the Vikings trade up to 4 to get a quarterback there as well, right?
There definitely is. I think people have started to cool on trading the house for J.J. McCarthy. Like, it went from, like, McCarthy's gained a lot of steam to those teams, Arizona, even Tennessee, et cetera. They want 3 first-round picks.
Right. That's,
I mean, yeah. if you're trading 3 first-round picks, you better be right. And with McCarthy, everybody's like, I like J.J. McCarthy. I don't love J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about him in a sec. Firstly, Patriots fans can't have low morale. You're just not allowed to have low morale after
Thank
you've
you.
Won this many
Thank
championships.
Thank you. That's it's exactly
ridiculous.
Right.
You can have low morale in 2060.
Yeah, yeah. You want to have low morale? Get 20 years of Dan Snyder's your owner. Then you're allowed to have low morale.
Yep.
But whatever. You're not allowed to have low morale for, yes, 2060. Yep. That's when you're allowed to have low morale.
Yep. Okay, so J.J. McCarthy, who at one point there was being reported that he was heavily in the mix to go 2 overall, and now it's kind of sliding a little bit, and it's hard to pass. Like, is he, like, he's not Will Levis because he's not going to slide out of the first
right.
round, but where do you think he would be best suited to go?
Denver with Sean Payton. I would say the same for him and both Bo Nix. I just think Sean Payton would be able to develop these guys at an appropriate pace. Not Nix. Nix can come in and play, but McCarthy's another guy. I think he needs to sit. I think things get chaotic for him when he's under pressure. You like how mechanically sound he is. He's a good athlete, not a great athlete. I think he throws outside the numbers pretty well. He looks very comfortable throwing on the move. But I think Sean Payton, obviously his track record and his ability with quarterbacks, I think that would be the ideal landing spot for McCarthy. Now the question is, does McCarthy just fall into their lap? Would Denver make a move? That's what everybody's trying to figure out right now. But I don't agree with this board, by the way. I would have the Vikings, Giants, and Broncos set evenly at about okay. plus 180 to plus 200. The Vikings being that far away, the runaway, feels like a lot of media noise to me. And it's because they acquired the 23rd overall pick, so they have the ammo to go up. I just don't agree that McCarthy is being valued as a top 3 to 4 pick in a giant trade-up situation anymore.
Okay, well, Broncos plus 750.
That yeah, like that's good value on that.
But, you know, what's interesting is, again, because, you know, Peyton likes that the short passing game
right.
and everything like that. And
McCarthy's a one-speed thrower, which doesn't really mesh with that very well. It's a lot
right.
of fastballs.
But Bo Nix, who is, like,
perfect for it.
Right, perfect. And Nix, who's, you know, more mobile, it's like, hey, right. you get a little bit of Taysom Hill.
And,
you know, like, hey, I don't need to bring in a tight end to play quarterback. I can just let Bo Nix keep it at the goal line.
You don't have to move for Bo Nix. Bo Nix is not going in the top 10. So if they want to sit and take him at 12, they want to trade out a couple picks and still get Bo Nix, they can. So I like that fit a lot. Now we're going to talk about Michael Penix's best fit.
Before we get there, just like, but is there a best fit for, because one of the arguments, kind of making this Commander-centric, but it's
more
what
Giants
I do.
Shot.
Yeah, no, stop it. This is a Commander show. Everyone knows that. No, but real talk for a second. One of the hallmarks or one of the calling cards of why you hire Cliff Kingsbury is, in theory, he's a great developer of young quarterbacks, right? We saw it with Kyler Murray. Patrick Mahomes sings his praises. Right. Even though Mahomes had an up-and-down college career, the fact is that Mahomes still very positive about his time at Texas Tech under Kingsbury. So, and I think that's, I do think a big reason why Dan Quinn hired Kingsbury to run the offense was because they knew they had the number 2 pick. They knew they were going to develop a quarterback. They needed to draft a quarterback to develop. So what's the best quarterback to land there with Cliff Kingsbury?
This is why you could convince yourself it's Jaden Daniels, because he's worked with guys that have good mobility. Jaden Daniels has operated an offense that likes to have multiple receivers on the field to push the ball to Brian Thomas Jr., Malik Nabers. And then you look at Cliff, obviously he's somebody that, you know, would spread the field out in that, and it kind of creates more space where the running threat matters a lot more. So that's probably why you're hearing so much noise around Jaden Daniels in that situation.
Yeah.
Although I'd argue Drake May's arm would challenge those areas of the field a little bit better.
Yep. I like that Matthew's just introduced this segment about what's best for my Commanders. Don't see that in the rundown, but that's fine. We can get to that. Last quarterback, Michael Penix
Jr. You know what?
Jr.
This is the kind of thing. If you want to on Bet the Edge, feel free to knock yourself out with all the Giants talk you want.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no, I'll pepper Connor about that later this afternoon.
Yeah.
When he commits podultery.
Exactly.
Michael Penix.
On the show, just out of curiosity, on the Bet the Edge show where you guys will be doing this show without me, it's fine.
Do you think you will
text each other as well on the show without me, or will you put the text thread that I'm not on aside to just talk to each other on Bet the Edge?
I had a little jolt in my heartstrings when you were talking about messaging Connor about this dynasty draft. I was nowhere to be seen on this, even if I had no relevance to the conversation.
Yeah, what are you bringing?
You want to sit in the shadows, keep up with the draft?
You want to give me odds? Barry, by the way, it's -150 that you're blowing this pick.
Just like to. It's good commentary.
I like the dynasty draw voyeur in the background. Yeah. I just like to watch. All right, let's talk about Michael Penix, who you are very high on. You said you'd take him over Jaden Daniels and J.J. McCarthy. It seems like the place he's been most linked with is Minnesota, but where do you think he would be best suited?
Far and away the best one. You look at what Penix does in terms of challenging all three levels of the field. He's a guy that fearlessly gives his receivers a shot. Justin Jefferson's going to go make a play for you. Jordan Addison and T.J. Hockenson are going to go make a play for you. I think when you look at Penix, he fits that McVay tree where it's McVay, Kevin O'Connell. Even now you have Zach Robinson down in Atlanta, although Atlanta signed Kirk Cousins, so now they're out of that. But I look at Penix.
But Zach Taylor's part of that, too.
Yeah, right, and 100%. Yeah, that's what Penix fits with. I mean, he's somebody that you could trust him in the play-action game. You could trust him to push the ball. He's going to see things pre-snap. And I think he could throw the middle of the field well. I know that's a criticism of him, but he was so good at throwing outside the numbers in college that they were able to just beat defenses that way. I think he could throw up the seam. I think he can throw the post. So I look at Penix and O'Connell and think it's a perfect fit. And the Vikings, do you want to go into the season starting Sam Darnold? I don't. Michael Penix is ready to play.
So.
Like Jaden Daniels, right. Michael Penix, and Bo Nix, they played in college for a long time.
Right.
They're pretty close. Like, this is what they are, right? With Drake May, I'll keep Caleb Williams out of this. With Drake May and J.J. McCarthy, they're like 3 years younger than those guys.
Yeah.
They need to sit and let things, you know, kind of calm for a little bit while.
Marinate. Develop.
Yes. So.
Yeah. I think the thing with Minnesota, too, is that, like, you've got Justin Jefferson in his prime. You have Jordan Addison going into year two. You have a really strong offensive line. You have a defensive genius in Brian Flores and a defense that is still talented and overperformed last season. Like, this team, outside of quarterback, is ready to, like, compete to get to, like, NFC title games if they just had the quarterback. So I don't think that
they're
you can just ride in with
Sam They're like Donald. The Jets last year. Maybe they should trade for Aaron Rodgers.
Maybe.
Aaron Rodgers.
And then the Jets could draft Bo Nix. Just keep the cycle endlessly going.
Yeah. Do you think the Jets take a quarterback?
Yeah, on day three.
Like a developmental guy?
On day three, yeah.
Do you think Aaron gets upset about it?
No, because they'll just have him sit in the room and you'll never see him play. He's behind Tyrod Taylor.
Right.
So
there you go.
Where's Zach Wilson at the moment? He's still on the Jets roster?
He's on the roster. Okay. Nobody knows where he is. Okay. Where in the world is Zach Wilson?
Yeah, he's actually in La Paz on an ILS.
It is kind of wild that nothing has happened there.
Yeah, I'll tell you where he is. He's in the suburbs. You understand what I'm saying? He's knocking door to door. He's going for tea time and cookies.
He has a different brand of darkness retreat.
God. All right.
Exactly.
DraftKings Sportsbook is an official sports betting partner of the NBA.
I heard he just signed an endorsement deal. Like, he's going to, like, well, he wants to give back to charity. He wants to, you know what I mean? Like, everyone in the offseason, they pick a charity. Mothers Against Drunk Driving is what Zach is doing. It's a great organization.
It's a great
organization.
Great job, Zach. Keep up the good work.
Yes.
And during the playoffs, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $200 in bonus bets instantly. Download the app and use promo code Barry when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook.
The crown is yours.
Did you hear that? That's what an estimated 500 horsepower sounds like. Exco, give it to you. How about that? That's a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system with 18 speakers and a Beosonic sound experience. That's our legacy. You ready to be a part of it? Let's go, give it to you. Unlock the energy of the all-electric ZDX Type S. Order now at Acura.com.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet?
Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best nut sound you've ever heard.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
All right, Connor, let's talk about some best wide receiver landing spots. Start with Marvin Harrison, who you cruelly had mocked to New England.
New England.
You say cruelly as in cruelly for viewers.
For people like me that use their first overall pick in their dynasty draft
for fantasy
that has to happen before the NFL draft on Marvin Harrison. The good news is, I'm going to go back and look at my text. I think you suggested McConkie over Pearsall. I'm going to go back and look at this. If McConkie does not as good as Pearsall, I'm blaming you.
I think you had drafted him without texting me yet.
I may have.
Yeah.
You
didn't get me involved until things got real difficult.
Until things got dicey. This is true. Yeah.
So you weren't even asking for advice. You were asking for being consulted for your choices.
It was like the third round. Everyone was gone.
Yeah. And I was like, I was just like, all right, who's like, you know, yeah, whatever. I don't know. We'll see. I feel good about McConkie, though. I do think he's got a
great
higher floor.
He's got a great floor.
Great floor. Yeah. Great floor. I'm all about floor.
So Marvin Harrison. So I'm assuming his best landing spot is not the New England Patriots.
Yeah, it's the team after them, Arizona. Yeah. Kyler Murray's there. We know Kyler Murray can play. Kyler Murray can push the ball down the field. But here's the thing with Marv. Marv's best attribute, besides his ability to track the ball and the body control, is when things get hectic, he is so physically dominant over defensive backs working back to the ball. Kyler runs around forever and will take those chances. So, and you're going to see the body control on this play. I mean, look at the concentration and focus. The thing with Marv is he's such a fit in that offense because, one, he'll be the number one wide receiver from day one. Two, he'll be playing with a good quarterback and a quarterback that fits what his skill set does best.
And, by the way, like, there's other – they're gonna have the human Dortch, Greg Dortch, there. Yeah. They'll also have – but, no, they'll have Michael Wilson.
Michael Wilson's a nice player.
Michael Wilson. They have Trey McBride. So the point is like, obviously Harrison's going to get a decent amount of defensive attention, but less so in Arizona where there's a lot of weapons than maybe on some other teams where he would be the focal point.
Triple covered.
You know, what are you saying about Kendrick Bourne and Juju Smith-Schuster?
Kendrick Bourne.
We like Kendrick Bourne here.
Coming back from injury.
Yeah.
I think the other thing about Marvin Harrison, too, is that he may just be a lot better even than he showed last year in Ohio State just because the quarterback situation was so dire. And now he's going to go to an NFL quarterback, whoever it is, particularly if it's not in New England. Like, if he winds up with Kyler Murray or Justin Herbert, it could get exciting. Let's talk about Malik Nabers and Roman.
But what do they do? If New England takes Marvin Harrison, are they just going to the season with Jacoby Brissett? It's not going to be like a day two guy. There's no one good out there free agent-wise.
I could see them being that team that comes back for Bo Nix.
Okay.
Which is, it's an interesting strategy.
Very much treading water.
Right. It feels like you're not really putting your foot on the gas with that strategy. Although I do advocate
just taking Mac Jones again.
I think that's fair. He's a better athlete than Mac Jones.
They took Bo Nix 2 years ago. We've already seen this movie.
Yeah. I think Mac Jones got a raw deal. I think Mac Jones is a better quarterback than what we have seen so far. I think, you know, I go back to that rookie year. I go back to, you know, his time at Alabama. And then just, like, the wheels fell off. Like, there were no one around him. Like, the offense, it was just, you know, sort of, you know, in terms of, like, the change in offensive coordinator, it was just a disaster for 2 years. And I think it just got into his head. And, like, I'm not saying he's great, but I'm just saying, like, I think that's a kid that got a raw deal.
Bengals Andy Dalton. Is what I would think he could be.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He should have had he's a better quarterback than he's valued at right now, I think.
2 weeks ago in his rookie season, he was favorite to an offensive rookie of the year over Jamar Chase. Like, the advanced stats, the underlying stuff, I think he, like, luck-adjusted EPA. He's, like, the 10th best quarterback in the NFL in his rookie season. I would just worry that this previous season in particular was like his Sam Darnold seeing ghosts on Monday Night Football, where it might have just broken him. And sometimes you just don't get fixed after something as kind of calamitous as that, I guess. But who knows? Maybe he'll find himself and he'll have a chance to regroup this season outside of New England. But yeah, Bo Nix, I wouldn't think that makes a great deal of sense for them. Anyway, let's talk about Malik Nabers and Roman Dunze, the consensus next two guys after Marvin Harrison. Where are their best spots?
The Chargers, of course. I mean, it's just a no-brainer. With Roman Dunze, it's funny. I compared him to Keenan Allen. We've seen Keenan Allen and Justin Herbert, what they could do together. When you look at Malik Nabers, he is just shot out of a rocket with and without the ball. Now, this is a hardball offense. Like, this wants to be a tough ground-and-pound, north-south kind of offense. Are they going to look to have a Ferrari like Malik Nabers? Or do they just go, we don't need to use a high pick on a guy like that? But just in terms of the best landing spot, Justin Herbert's arm, obviously Nabers is a guy that can get open at all three levels. He is so good with the ball in his hands. You could throw him a screen. You could have him work across the formation with catch and run ability. He's just electric. He really, really is. So, and you see him working down the field here as well. I mean, pairing Nabers with Herbert, I would expect Nabers to be the offensive rookie of the year runner-up on the odds board, only behind Caleb Williams if that happened.
Yep. Wow. I think that makes a lot of sense.
Maybe my Commanders trade up to get him.
Maybe. They got Jaden Daniels. Yeah. Recreate that.
All the Texans.
Yeah. Go.
Pick two and
Commanders.
Three.
Well, apparently Jaden Daniels can't throw to anyone, so apparently he's not going to work
I will
out.
Say that video we just saw where he's raising his hand. I'm open.
Made you think?
And then he still had to run to get the ball. Yeah. And then he still had to, like, take two steps forward to get to the ball. Like,
makes you think.
Like, yeah. Oh, boy. We're going to. It's going to be Marcus Mariota in week six, isn't it?
All right. Well,
I'm going to lose
what little, yeah.
Rescind the
I didn't
trade.
Want to trade Sam Howell. I was on record with that. I did not want to trade future Hall of Famer Sam Howell. Give him away.
Very strange.
We'll see. Very strange.
All right. Well, I think at this point, the consensus number four guy is kind of Brian Thomas Jr. Where do you think his best fit is?
Yeah, this is an interesting one. I would say Jacksonville. Now, the problem is they went out and signed Gabe Davis, who kind of clogs that role, which is very frustrating. You would think Jacksonville would be a great landing spot for him. You know, you go down the board a little bit. Like, the Bengals aren't going to look for T. Higgins' replacement yet, so that's out of the cards there. I do like the Steelers, and I know people will laugh at that because Arthur Smith is there. It's Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, but there's opportunity there for him. And you look at him and Pickens, two big perimeter receivers. I think that would be an incredible fit. The low-hanging fruit is like, oh, Miami, take him, and he's your third wide receiver. But that's just too – eventually you got to invest
too
in the offensive
obvious.
Line.
Yeah. I will say that I agree with you on the fit in Pittsburgh, but also feels like Pittsburgh prides themselves on, like, I don't know, we're going to find a guy on day three.
And they do.
That's going to be awesome.
And they do.
They always do, right?
Their non-round one wide receiver drafts are amazing.
Right. So you sort of feel like that. I mean, to me, Buffalo becomes really interesting. I don't know if he lasts till Buffalo, but obviously no Stephon Diggs. No Gabe Davis. You know, there's 8 billion targets available. And I know they signed Curtis Samuel. You know, they want to have a larger role for Khalil Shakir. And obviously Dalton Kincaid, the rookie tight end from last year. So, but still, they need a wide receiver in round one. I'm almost positive they're going wide receiver in round one. It's just who's sort of there for them. And Thomas would be pretty interesting with Josh Allen as quarterback.
He would be great with Josh Allen as quarterback. And you could say the same for Adonai Mitchell from Texas. That's a guy that could make it there. You know, with Brian Thomas, he just might have tested too well. And you look at the production with Mitchell, he's somebody that could make it to that 28th pick for Buffalo. And then you have your true perimeter outside, down the field threat, great hang time in the red zone. I mean, he catches touchdowns in his sleep. He did it at Georgia. He did it at Texas. So I really like Mitchell's fit with Buffalo as well.
Yep. Let's go back to Odunze for a second because I just want to take a look at his odds to be picked in that 5 to 10 type of range. You can see right now his two most likely draft positions at number 6, plus 250, and then 9th overall at plus 150. Ultimately, where do you think he will end up, and where would you like him to go?
So I like the odds on the number 8th pick at plus 700 because the Falcons are answering the phone for anybody to take this pick.
Sure.
So if you want value, you take this now.
For Jay? Would they answer the phone for Jay?
We'll give you Jay, and what else would we throw in that trade? It's a good question.
I thought you were going a different way, where I thought you were going to say that the Falcons are just going to draft another skill position player in the top 10 picks after
we'll put it past them.
Drake London, Kyle Pitts, and Bijan Robinson.
Yeah.
But no, that makes sense on a Zoom day. It seems like he is the guy most frequently mocked to the Giants in a way. Well, I guess it depends. If J.J. McCarthy actually does go in the top four, then they might be able to get Malik Nabers. But
exactly.
If it doesn't break that way and they do want to go receiver.
But in your and what was interesting, we didn't get a chance to go to this, but in your what you would do if you were the GM, if you were Joe Shane, you're saying you would take Brock Bowers.
Yes.
For the Giants instead of a wide receiver. Yeah, they got Darren
Waller.
Who has
not committed to playing.
He may or may not retire, but, you know, he's still – But I'm just curious about that, just as we talk about potentially whether it's Nabers or Odunze. We agree that a pass catcher is needed for the Giants because a lot of needs for the Giants, for your Giants. Mm. But other than Jalin Hyatt, we don't really feel good about anyone on the offensive side of the ball for the Giants, especially in their passing game. So why Brock Bowers, why the tight end versus Odunze or, you know, Nabers or any one of these kind of elite wide receivers?
Yeah, so Nabers and Marv were gone in that situation.
Right.
So it was between Brock or Odunze. Now, my argument for that with the Giants is they've had nobody through the air that scares you on this team in a long time. I mean, just nobody. That was supposed to be Darren Waller last year. He wasn't healthy. He wasn't really that impactful. Right, like
Odell Beckham.
It makes you think. That was a long time ago.
Yeah. That was probably the last guy.
That's a long time ago.
Cut to Darius Slayton. Whoa, I'm taking shrapnel over here. Yeah,
who didn't show up for workouts, by the way, so he might not be a Giant for much longer.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, if you
Sterling Shepard's good 3 games a year, like, you know.
Hakeem Nicks, Mario Manningham.
There we go.
Yeah, there you go.
The other Steve Smith.
Yeah.
David Tyree for one play.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, Bowers is a guy that can play anywhere. Out wide, slot, backfield, in line. And then if you're the Giants, you take Brock Bowers in the first round, which they're probably not going to do that. Then you pick at, what, pick 47, you can get a great receiver. Now everything right. looks – and say what you want about Daniel Jones, and I am not a Daniel Jones guy.
Sure.
But if you really do want to give him a shot this year and you don't love the quarterbacks that are available to you at six, that's an offense that can compete. Brock Bowers and a round two wide receiver from this draft would both start in that offense today.
Especially knowing that, you know, again, Daboll loves the middle of the field. Like, that's a big part of right. his offense. That was part of the reason why everyone was so excited when Darren Waller went there initially. And so having somebody like Bowers, you know, along with, right, a pretty good day two wide receiver, we expect Jalen Hyatt, friend of the show, to take another step. Maybe they talk Darren Waller to come back for one more year. All of a sudden, you know.
Offensive line looks better.
Offensive line looks better as well. You know, and Gary Brightwell breaking tackles in the backfield. Whoever the running back's going to be. I don't know.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, yeah, it's not a great situation overall. But I think, like, everyone is convinced that, like, oh, Pittsburgh's Russell Wilson, they're in a good spot. Like, Derek Carr, New Orleans, they're fine at quarterback. Like, Daniel Jones is just as good as those guys 2 years ago. Like, he was very, very good in the year the Giants made the playoffs. It's just that last year, he didn't have a chance behind that offensive line. Like, it was just devolved into kind of black comedy at some point. But, yeah, it seems like
I'm with you. Daniel Jones isn't great, but he's not nearly as bad as people want to make him out to be. Oh. He's fine.
I'm not drafting J.J. McCarthy in the top, moving up for J.J. McCarthy. And as being the solution to the Daniel Jones problem.
Correct.
Like, that would really bother me.
Correct.
So.
If
they're picking at two and they take Drake May, okay. Like, you take Jaden Daniels, okay, you're trying something different.
Yep. Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk about.
I don't know what I'm rooting for now at two. I'm so torn.
That Malik Nabers B-roll really broke you. I saw your soul leave.
It did.
Float into the light.
Well, and just I've read all these underlying stats about that Daniels is more smoke than mirrors, and I don't know. I'm nervous.
He'll be fun in fantasy.
Listen, he'll great at being fantasy. Oh. Like, he should be the number one rookie quarterback.
More smoke than mirrors?
Yeah, sure. Is that not making any sense?
Throwing the flag.
Smoke and
all
mirrors.
All smoke and mirrors.
More smoke than mirrors.
It's very no way, my
more
friend.
But more smoke than smoke. Mirrors. Yeah. No, I just think if like smoke and mirrors is like there's it's a mirage. But if there's even more smoke than mirrors, at least with a mirror you can see something. Smoke, it's like it's all foggy. I'm not apologizing
about Brock Bowers.
I'm not apologizing for that one. Screw you guys. Yeah, you heard me. More smoke than mirrors.
I will not walk it back.
Okay.
I will not walk that back. I'm owning that. I'm planting that flag.
That in Google a bit later.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
Brock Bowers.
Yeah, no way, Monfrey.
Yeah, well, that one.
I'm not walking that back.
That one was on. That was objectively wrong. His Brock Bowers. I was hanging out with Rob Gronkowski. Tweet from Phil at Phil A. Perry. Brock Bowers kind of anointed as the next. I'm not sure you want to call anyone the next Rob Gronkowski.
Let's say George Kittle.
Okay, yeah, next George Kittle, friend of the show. I like it. Sure. You mentioned how the Giants would be a great landing spot. Is there anywhere else for Brock Bowers, perhaps further down, or he might be more likely to go?
You could stay in New York with the Jets. He'd be the number two wide receiver, in theory, in targets for the Jets.
Cut to Tyler Conklin. What did I do wrong?
Tyler Conklin slander will not be tolerated on this show.
Yeah, exactly. Wow.
Yeah, you look at the Jets, He's the player I hear the most associated with some trade-ups. Okay. Like, you could see a team come up for him and be like, he's one of the best players in the draft. We'll go get him. You know, whether that was going to be the Bengals would probably be my favorite fit. Imagine T. Higgins, Jamar Chase, and Brock Bowers with Joe Burrow.
Do you think if Bowers gets drafted by the Jets, Rodgers turns to Bowers and says, like, hey, I want you to introduce Randall Cobb. Learn how to play the middle of the field. We're going to be
they bring Mercedes Lewis in.
Yeah.
That's the play.
What it'll be. That'll be Mercedes Lewis. You're right. Yeah. It'll be Randall Cobb. That's the better reference.
Enjoy the view from the sideline, kid.
Yeah.
It's the big dogs on the field.
Exactly.
Yeah. That'd be great.
I think the thing with Bowers.
The fact that Mercedes Lewis is still in the league.
Like, and like an effective blocking tight end.
I thought he retired 6 years ago.
When was Mercedes Lewis? Like, if you had to guess, when was Mercedes Lewis drafted?
God, let's see. We're 2005.
2006.
I was going to say, was he like on the Todd Collins Titans? Do you remember the year the Titans went 13-3 and then lost to the like rookie Joe Flacco in the playoffs?
He played for Jacksonville for almost 12 years. Yeah. That's amazing.
It's unbelievable.
Confusing my old tight ends. I think the thing with Bowers is that.
But yeah, Bowers in Cincinnati would be exciting.
Unbelievable.
He also, the shine in a way came off of him because he was clearly hurt down the end of the season, right?
Like
he
great point, Jay.
He wasn't himself at all against Alabama, which I was very grateful for, having wagered on Alabama in that game and then wagered on the next game. Didn't work out as well against Michigan. But he wasn't right at all. And so, I mean, he is a generational type of tight end prospect.
Yeah, if you look at 2022, it's some of the best tight end film you'll ever see. I mean, he dominated the SEC. He was the SEC Freshman of the Year Then as a true freshman. Then the next year, he won the Mackey, best tight end in the country. And then on, what, like one leg last year, won the Mackey again.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't know what more people want. Everyone's like, well, he didn't test. Well, he's probably been getting healthy, not training to test.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. All right. Not really a running back.
I'll tell you what people want. Him to wear slightly longer shorts. It's a little. He's thighs out? Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
His shorts are really short. What's wrong with that? It's kind of like 1970s NBA.
What's wrong with that?
It's making a comeback.
I guess. I'd rather be ahead of the curve.
Yeah,
you know what? Like, I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. Because it gives me a complex about my own thighs.
Yeah.
I have thigh issues.
Thighs out. Thighs out? Not following that this summer?
Thighs out, skies out?
Yeah. Like,
would you say that is...
Skies out, thighs out?
Would you say his shorts are more mirrors than smoke?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, for me.
Good. Before we get to the running backs, circling back to a couple of receivers, we just got to mention Xavier Worthy, given that he has been such a hype train, and then also your man, Ladd McConkey.
Yeah.
Ultimately, where would you like to see those guys go?
I mean, we haven't said it yet. You have to say the Chiefs eventually. Like, you just have to. Yeah. You're kidding yourself if you're not... A lot of people like to compare Worthy to DeSean Jackson, so they're like, oh, Andy Reid can make this work. I thought DeSean Jackson had better play strength than Worthy, but you could say the usage is the same. Hollywood Brown signed a one-year deal, so you're not saying, oh, Hollywood, we're stuck with Hollywood Brown for the next 5 years. We can't draft that kind of player. That's the dream scenario there. With McConkey, that's an interesting one because his play style can really fit just about anywhere. I would say the Panthers at the top of round two. You look at Bryce, you know, Bryce Young was at his best at Alabama. The reason he was number one overall pick was timing and rhythm. Yeah. McConkey is all about timing and rhythm in the receiving game of getting open, quick separation, like 3 seconds I'm open. So I would like the Panthers for that one.
Yeah, you know, he won't last there, I think. But, you know, it's almost a shame that Puka Nacua happened because I could see McConkey in a McVay offense.
Right.
Just, again, the route running and the timing and everything like that. Like, they don't need him, and they have other needs, and, like, he's not going to last to where the Rams pick, but, like, I don't think...
You kind of wonder, though, like, are the Rams in on this receiver market more than we make them out to be?
Because again, with Cooper Kupp, we don't know how long he's lasting, right?
Like, if you're thinking 2 years ahead, you would have to say yes.
Yeah.
Make a pick on defense at some point.
They have, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, at the point where they would consider a receiver, I think, McConkey will be gone.
That's exactly
how that was sort of my take here. But I just think in terms of like an offense and a quarterback, you know, and what McConkey does well, that'd be pretty interesting.
Yep. That makes sense. All right, let's take a look at some of these over-under first-round position totals on DraftKings. Quarterbacks set at 4.5 with the over heavily backed minus 170. Wide receivers, 6.5. Massive number. The under is backed minus 240. Then running backs... it's kind of sad over-under, just 0.5 and
yeah, one won't
plus
go in the
800.
First round. Yeah. Yeah, running back won't go in the first round. Quarterbacks, 5 will go in the first round. So I would back the minus 170 number. Actually, don't think those odds are terrible. I would have it at minus 250 right now. Quarterbacks over 4.5. Wide receivers.
Oh, you think so? You would take the over even at minus 170?
Yeah, I feel pretty good about Caleb May, Jaden Daniels, Penix, and McCarthy all going in the first round. The wild card is Bo Nix. Like, I would love to see what that number is set at 5.5. Like,
right.
Is it plus 500? Yeah. Is it? That would be the interesting one. People always sleep on the teams coming back into round one to get the fifth-year option.
Yep.
Ravens did it with Lamar Jackson. Packers did it with Jordan Love. Yeah. It's a very savvy play in a deep quarterback class.
Maybe the Commanders do that.
Maybe they do.
They take Jaden Daniels and they're like, "Hey, let's trade back in and we'll get Bo Nix. Let him figure it out."
Once upon a time, taking two quarterbacks in the same draft worked for them.
It really did. They traded the 3 number ones for Robert Griffin III,
and took someone better.
And then they took Kirk Cousins in the 4th.
So you can view it as a kind of just one trade for both of them. It kind of worked out in the end.
Worked out massively. Yeah. I remember being so upset at the time. Like, we have so many needs. You just traded the farm for this guy, and now you're using a 4th-round pick on Kirk Cousins, and that ended up, you know.
Okay.
Well, both creating issues and saving them.
Yeah. You mentioned kind of no running backs expected to go in the first round, but what teams do you think need running backs, and why is it the Dallas Cowboys?
It's the Cowboys, right? There's just no other way to say this.
I'm sorry. Did you guys not see they signed Royce Freeman yesterday?
Royce Freeman.
You take that back. I don't think they need a running back at all. Listen, Jerry Jones said, I'm going all in, and then he signs Royce Freeman. Ipso facto, Super Bowl. Nothing says all in like Royce Freeman.
See their first free agent signing? Awesome.
I think they brought back, what, their long snapper?
Yeah. Unbelievable.
There you go.
It's just a great all-in summer from the Dallas Cowboys, my mortal rival in the NFC East. So between Jonathan Brooks, Trey Benson, as we look at the
Jalen Wright,
running
maybe
back rushing yards.
I like Jalen Wright a lot. Yeah. So, I mean, obviously the Chargers have done some work in free agency on the running backs. You could see them taking a guy on day three with how much Harbaugh wants to run the ball. Maybe he gets his old friend Blake Corum back in the fold. The Giants pick 70 makes a ton of sense for a running back there. Jalen Wright's really, really explosive. Yeah. Trey Benson probably doesn't make it there. You look at the Cowboys at 56, you would think they're looking at both Jonathan Brooks from Texas and Trey Benson from Florida State. All those teams, yeah, they're definitely in play for a running back as well. I just think a lot of the teams will wait till round three because you can.
Because you can.
Yeah, you don't have to take one in the first two rounds this year.
It is crazy, just like whoever the Cowboys draft as their running back is immediately going to become like
a thing.
Yeah.
Top 20 running back.
Yeah, right. It's easy. Unbelievable. We don't even know who the person is.
Right. And you you could just take Cowboys running back if you were doing a best ball draft right now or something like that. You absolutely would.
You know, it's a sneaky one.
What's that?
Because Zamir White looked good last year as the Raiders.
Sure.
Like, if the Raiders don't take somebody in the first three rounds, Zamir White is, how is he viewed going into this year? I mean, I would think
top 20 guy. I mean, like, they want to run the ball, and he was a top 10 fantasy running back from the time that Jacobs was out down the stretch last year.
And then they take someone at 77, it's like, oh, how is this going to split?
I mean, I could see Baltimore taking another running back. Baltimore can always use more running backs, you know what I mean? Like,
no, I agree.
So I think Baltimore probably takes a running back. I wonder if the Commanders, who let Antonio Gibson go. Now, they did sign Austin Ekeler, obviously. They still have Brian Robinson there, but
third guy.
You know, potentially a third guy. We'll see how they feel about Chris Rodriguez. You know, it's a new regime. Could see them taking another depth guy. But it's going to be mostly
Giants are another one.
No, Giants. Giants absolutely to replace Saquon.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Anyone.
You're not a Gary Brightwell guy?
Yeah, come on.
Offensive line is better. If Daniel Jones is back and they take a reset, like all of a sudden it could be a vaguely competent offense and to have a number one running back behind a vaguely competent
I would think
offense.
Cincinnati takes a running back too at some point. Yeah. You know, again, losing Mixon. I know they like what they have in Chase Brown, and they signed Singletary, right?
Right.
But
three-headed committee.
Zach Moss. Sorry, same guy. Not exactly.
By definition, different guy.
Where is Singletary?
The Giants?
Singletary go to the Giants?
Yeah, the Giants. Yeah.
Singletary to the Giants.
That's right.
That's why it's just like,
the running back carousel was insane.
What?
The running back carousel.
Running back carousel was insane. Yes. Singletary's with the Giants. Sorry, Zach Moss is with the Bengals. But both those teams need a little bit more depth.
They are kind of the same. They're cut from the same archetype.
Well, you know what it is? Obviously, Singletary and Moss were in the same Buffalo backfield for a couple of years, which is why I got them sort of, in my mind, confused a little bit, mixed up. That's why I had them associated with each other.
Look into the inner workings of your synapses.
The countdown is on.
Did you not see the 228,000 emails that I haven't read yet, Jay?
Yeah, that's true.
All right, thank you.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Wednesday was the 100-day mark to the Summer Olympics in Paris. Tune in this summer on NBC and Peacock to see the greatest athletes in the world go for the gold in the City of Light.
Just want to yell out the crown is yours after every
Right. The City of Light. The City of Light.
You guys think we're going to the Olympics?
By the way, not only just I don't think so. I don't think we're going to get to go to the Olympics.
We were a backup plan.
But I think they will give us a discount code to watch it on Peacock.
That's pretty
is cool. What I've heard.
With the gold zone?
With the gold zone. I love it.
Looks sick.
Scott Hansen coming on board.
Did you hear that? That's what an estimated 500 horsepower sounds like. Exco, give it to you. How about that? That's a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system with 18 speakers and a Beosonic sound experience.
Acura wins Daytona.
And that... That's our legacy. You ready to be a part of it?
Let's go, give it to you.
Unlock the energy of the all-electric ZDX Type S.
Give up.
Order now at Acura.com.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Roto World player news. For all your player news, go to NBCSports.com. And how about this one, guys? Tom Brady says he's not opposed to an NFL return under the right circumstances.
By the way, also not opposed to an NFL return.
Might be a good idea.
Under the right circumstances.
Is he about to launch a product or something?
It did feel very like, I need to be back in the news.
Do you think it's just like, boy, this Fox deal, I really don't want to. It seemed like a lot of money at the time, and now I'm just like,
tough shoes to fill.
Do we know if he's calling games this year?
He is scheduled to.
I bet he just gets to start whenever he wants to start.
Probably, because he's Tom Brady. But that the theory was is that, yes, he took last year off and that he was going to, and they were going to move Greg Olsen, and he's, in theory, supposed to start calling games this year. But, I mean, who?
Season's not that far away.
By the way, that's not a – if you are Tom Brady, if you are – like, Tom Brady is in rarefied air, right? I mean, like, he is the most famous person in any room he walks into. And the demands on his time and the opportunities available to him in all walks of life are. My point is so for him to like get on a plane, go there, talk to the coach. Hey, Antonio Pierce, how do you think you're going to attack the Chargers today? For him to do that, and then he's going to go. Like, again, especially because of the way that guy is wired, like he's not going to half-ass it.
No.
Tom Brady does not half-ass anything. Like, if he ends up committing to being an NFL announcer, he's going to be great at it or do everything he can. That was one of the reasons why Peyton Manning, who's so good, was resistant for so long because he didn't want to do that grind. That is a grind where you're on a plane every single week to whatever the number one game of your network is, right? And you're doing research. Like, you need to know who the freaking long snapper is. You need to know all that stuff, and then you've got to talk to both coaches of whoever that game is. And like, and by the way, there's all this BS that goes on that you never see, but there's a luncheon for advertisers, and the CMO of Verizon wants to take a photo op and whatever it is, and so you're just like, it's a grind. And so Manning was like, I don't want to do that. And so finally, ESPN was like, tell you what, here's a ton of money to sit in your garage and turn on a Zoom, And Manning was like, okay.
Yeah.
And like, you just watch it.
Where it eliminates all of the other stuff.
Yeah, all the BS. Yeah. And even then, Manning was like, okay, I'll do it for 10 games.
I'll
do it for half the season, if you pay me a gabillion dollars. And ESPN was like, yeah, sure, here's a gabillion dollars. So I wonder if Brady is having second thoughts about that because, again, he's not like Tony Romo in the sense that, like, that's sort of what like Romo became a bigger star, I would argue, as a commentator than he was as a quarterback.
Nationally, definitely.
And so there are people that need to go into television to keep their star alive, if you will. Brady doesn't need that.
No.
Brady's royalty.
Yeah. It's funny. It would almost be easier for Tom Brady just to go be the quarterback of the Raiders than to begin this whole new job.
It's an entirely different world.
Also, it's not a great spot because I think Greg Olsen is just kind of regarded like he has 100% approval rating. If I was on radio, I'd be sitting here like, damn it, Olsen made a good point again.
Olsen's great. And so you're right. I mean, you're opening yourself up to criticism, something that...
The bar is high,
and he doesn't know if he's quote-unquote going to be good at it, whereas as a quarterback, he knows he's pretty damn good at it. Seriously, even after a year off at age 45, he's still a top 10 quarterback in the NFL, right?
Right. Like, what are the Vikings' odds go up to if Tom Brady signs with them in the next hour?
I guarantee he would be projected as a sort of definite increase over Sam Darnold. And also, not to disparage our good friend Aiden O'Connell, friend of the show, but he would also be an upgrade there, too. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I think there's a non-zero chance. Like, the fact is, he was done. Everyone is just like, you've wavered before and you came back and blah, blah, blah. And then he took the year off. And so you're like, okay, you're out.
Yeah.
And then for him to sort of say, well, actually.
He won't close the door.
Yeah. He won't close the door.
People forget Jordan was actually pretty good on the Wizards. He wasn't actually that bad. It's just he wasn't Michael Jordan anymore.
Just wasn't Michael Jordan in capital letters, but he was still...
Still putting up 20 again.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Good. I was worried we were going to get through the show without an NBA reference.
Got funny. Thank God. It was close. We only got about 10 minutes left before we could have got it in. All right, in other news, the Titans offensive coordinator Nick Holes spoke on the Titans' backfield.
Would you draft Tom Brady if you were in a best ball league? Would you spend your last round pick on Tom Brady just...
Over Drew Lock?
Yeah, just like, what the hell?
What my options are. I might.
Just something.
I
just
might, I might do it in our league, just to see the reaction for content.
Yeah, just for... Just for S and G's, as it were.
Yeah.
Just for smoke.
You should. Cameras. Like,
I haven't dropped him on a dynasty team yet, by the way. I have one dynasty team where I've held.
Very.
I can't do it.
Tom
it's
Brady
so funny. Do it.
The Justin league, Jefferson. That'd be pretty cool.
Be amazing, Adams. Right? That league that I talked about, that dynasty league where we just did the rookie draft, literally a guy in my league finally dropped Brady. Like, literally the day before Brady, that news came out, that Brady was like, no, because we don't, we're just doing a, we don't do any free agent moves.
Okay.
It's just, it's the rookie draft, and then, and we do a waiver system, a blind bidding, you know, with free agent dollars system, and that doesn't happen until August. So he's just, he's on the waiver wire until August. It'll be interesting to see. So, anyway. But can you imagine, you're like, you hung on to him through the
year.
His retirement year, because, hey, you never know, you never know. Yeah. Now we're getting to the draft, and you're like, all right, I gotta create a roster spot for an incoming rookie. Fine, I'll drop him. Actually.
I can't let go.
Yeah. And it's a super flex league where, you know, again, and 12-team leagues, 33-man rosters with a 3-man IR. So it's like, there's no, like, I have Taylor Heineke still on my team. Like, I have, you know, I mean. Blaine Gabbert is owned in my league.
That's
I mean, Carson Wentz is, right?
Is Taylor Hogan still on the Falcons?
Hey, it's a deal.
Kirk Cousins, yeah. Okay, he may get some run.
In other news, Titans offense coordinator Nick Holes spoke on the backfield between Tony Pollard and Tajay Spears. Take a listen to what he had to say.
Everybody keeps saying interchangeable, and we see it that way, right? We don't want any tendencies when those guys are in there. So we think that they both can have a skill set as pass catchers, a skill set running the gap schemes, all the different zone schemes we're going to have. So, you know, that's where it's really most exciting is as we go, you're not going to say, well, and this backs in, these are the plays, and this backs in, those are the plays. They can really function on all three downs, and really they're not any scheme, they have no scheme limitations.
As you see the comparison here from last year between Tajay Spears and Tony Pollard, Matthew, definitely a tough situation to navigate in fantasy, for sure.
No, it's not tough at all. You just ignore it.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, no, I mean, seriously, I don't know that I'm out, because they both have value, and if anything were, if either one of them got hurt, the other one would have a lot of value. We expect their offensive line has already improved from last year. It's gotten healthier. It signed the center.
Could look better in 2 weeks.
We think it's going to look a lot better after the draft as well. You're certainly interested in what Callahan will do with this offense. I think both guys, but I think they're both like sort of flex plays. They're just going to be sort of like, you know, they're part of a committee on a mid to low scoring team, and they're just kind of like, you know, they're flex plays unless something were to happen to one or the other one of them.
I still just can't shake 2 years ago just how freaking good Tony Pollard looked. That game against Minnesota where the Cowboys were in 40-3, and he's running these wheel routes. He's basically just lining up a wide receiver as well. It's like this guy's playing a different sport, and he was so bad last year, and just everything was off. And I just wonder if it was just the leg. And just like he came back from a broken leg in the playoffs, and maybe he's just wasn't healthy. And he talked about how he wasn't really right until November, December. Maybe just the rhythm was off. And maybe there's still something there where he could still be an elite guy. The issue is that he's probably just not going to get the opportunity, whatever happens.
But by the way, and Tajay Spears had explosive moments last year as well.
Tajay Spears like beat the Jags in their season, like with these huge runs.
1,000%. So I do think it was somewhat of the leg. I think Pollard will be better than he was last year. I don't know if he will fantasy-wise, because it's not as good as an offense. He's not going to get nearly as much work, but he'll look better,
The problem is with Pollard, too, is that if he is just Tony Pollard again and he's back, then the Titans and everyone will be like, well, it's because he's got a reduced load, and this is what he should be, because he was so good in Dallas when Zeke was there. So it's like, it's just if he plays better. Usually if you play better, that correlates with getting more opportunity. With Tony Pollard specifically, it may not, because he's only ever done it in a part-time role.
By the way, cut to the Cowboys not drafting a running back and just bringing back Ezekiel Elliott, who I traded in my dynasty league, and everyone traded for like pennies on the dollar last year. Watch him, like, all of a sudden now he's a top 15 running back.
Because
he's going to 1,000 yards.
yards, 12 touchdowns.
Zeke was
like,
really good last year.
And he was.
He was really fast, which is the strange thing. Like some of his next-gen stats, the speeds, like the 20-mile-per-hour runs, like he was actually looked healthier.
In other running back news, Kevin Stefanski said there's no timetable for Nick Chubb. The Browns did restructure Chubb's contract for 2024, lowered his number significantly. It just feels like with how severe that injury was, Matthew, they're not going to push this one at all.
No, they aren't. And I spoke to Kevin Stefanski about this at the combine, had the definitive Kevin Stefanski interview.
Yeah. I don't know if he's the reigning coach of the year.
Turns out he is.
It's not in here, but there's actually no timetable for Matthew Berry realizing that Kevin Stefanski is the two-time coach of the year.
Yeah, wait, he's two-time?
Yeah.
He's won it twice? Damn. But he did, to that point, like they're very happy with what they got out of Jerome Ford here. They also signed Deontay Foreman, which is kind of a very under-the-radar signing, because Foreman is a guy that, you know, when he got 20 touches last year for the Bears, was effective. When he has gotten work in the NFL, whether it was with the Panthers or the Bears last year, he's been effective. He's kind of a really – he ain't Nick Chubb. No one's Nick Chubb, right? But, like, he's a pretty effective runner for what the Browns like to run on offense from a power standpoint. So he gives them some nice depth along with Ford on a team that's going to be throwing, you know, assuming with a healthy Watson, with Amari Cooper, with Elijah Moore, with Jerry Jeudy. Yep. You know, like they added like Njoku, of course, as well. So like suddenly, like, yeah, I think they're going to take their time with Nick Chubb, but I don't mind him as a late flyer. Like we'll have more info as we get closer to August, but I don't mind Chubb as kind of a late flyer because I think he'll play at some point this year, just probably not at the beginning.
I mean, he could win leagues in the playoffs if he's coming back. If he's Nick Chubb by the end of the season, because you figure that he'll be getting goal line work, and they can ease him in and ramp him up. And still, like, he is arguably the best pure runner in the NFL when healthy, so certainly a ton of upside in Nick Chubb.
Over with the wide receivers, a lot of news trickled in. DeVonta Smith signs a 3-year, $75 million extension. $51 million is guaranteed. We'll get back to that one in a second. The Dolphins will exercise Jaylen Waddle's 5th-year option. No surprise with how good he's been. T. Higgins says, I do anticipate playing for the Bengals in 2024, and there is precedent for CeeDee Lamb sitting until he signs an extension per Michael Gelkin of the Dallas Morning News. Matthew, it feels like the CeeDee Lamb situation might be the most fantasy significant because we've seen guys sit and it's taken, like Josh Jacobs last year, it takes guys much longer to get ramped up back to themselves.
Yeah, we'll see when we get to August. I'm not worried about him sitting out now. I'm worried about it if we get to August. My guy, I'll talk to Ates. I'll talk to him and I'll be like, listen, let's get into camp. But like, you know, listen, Jerry Jones is all in. He took care of running back with Royce Freeman, and now he's got to take care of wide receiver with CeeDee Lamb. Like, it's steps. It takes time. It takes time to put the pieces together.
Try and mentally calculate in my head what the over-under for you saying, my guy Ates, I call him Ates. No one else calls him Ates, but because we're friends, I call him Ates. It would generally be like 114 and a half, the amount of times.
I would take the over.
I would take the over.
Yep. Because I'm proud of my friendship with my guy Ates. I call him Ates.
Yeah. I guess that's going to be their big free agency addition is bringing CeeDee Lamb and Micah Parsons, getting them on extensions.
Yeah.
New players.
Well, they have to, right? And by the way, and it's sort of interesting because, you know, cut to Brandon Cooks being the greatest wide receiver of all time because Michael Gallup's no longer there. Like, yeah. I mean, we'll see if they bring him back, but Michael Gallup currently a free agent. So, like, they don't have, like, a ton of depth right there anymore, right? You know, especially, Jake Ferguson.
I like Jake Ferguson.
I did too. Yeah.
We liked him last year too. We were early on Jake.
But do you like him for 150 targets, Ferguson?
No, I don't. But he could be, he may have to be the number two guy in that passing game.
Yeah.
He will have to be, I think.
Yeah. And with the DeVonta Smith extension, I think what's more interesting than the extension itself is just the number it sets now when Justin Jefferson gets paid, Ja'Marr Chase gets paid. It's going to be out of this world.
And CeeDee Lamb, when my guy Ates
and CeeDee Lamb. Which is why it could drag out. Some other notable transactions. The Chargers signed J.K. Dobbins to a one-year deal. Mm. Cowboys signed Royce Freeman to a one-year deal. You already heard that from Matthew. He was very excited. Sure. Packers re-sign Emmanuel Wilson to a one-year deal. The Lions bring back Craig Reynolds, best friend of Penn State Blake. Haven't seen Penn State Blake in a while. Eagles sign C.J. Uzomah.
He's negotiating Craig Reynolds' deal for the Lions.
He's actually in the state of Michigan now partying.
Right. Yeah, he's now Michigan State, Blake.
East Lansing disaster. Eagles signed C.J. Uzomah to a one-year deal.
Oh,
championship.
That is, oh, man, if you want to backbreaking penalty that cost you a touchdown.
As a Commanders fan, I was very excited to see C.J. Osama go to the
That helps the Commanders odds of the NFC East.
J.K. Dobbins is pretty interesting there. I mean, like, again, still only 25 years old, right? Obviously, familiarity with Greg Roman from their time together in Baltimore. And so Greg Roman now recreates the Ravens' backfield with Dobbins and Gus Edwards. I was super excited about Gus Edwards as a sleeper. Now, like, okay, great. Now we're into a committee. It's going to be, but I think they're going to run enough that both guys will have value. And I still like Dobbins is the bigger name. And if he's fully healthy, then he'll probably get drafted higher as we get closer to August. I still like Gus Edwards.
Yeah.
He's just going to grind his way to 900 yards and double-digit touchdowns. And, like, no one's going to be excited about it when you draft him, but he's going to provide value.
And they'll draft Blake Corum in the fourth round and make
exactly.
it really
make
difficult
it just
to figure out.
Just a committee. But, like, Dobbins is good. When Dobbins – I mean, the problem is he's just never been able to stay healthy. But Dobbins, you know, guys for his career is averaging almost 6 yards a carry.
Yep. Justin Herbert is not a very appetizing fantasy prospect.
And you're
at this
seeing
point.
It. I've done a couple of best ball drafts where it's like he's an afterthought compared to what he usually is.
Like, that's crazy. And I get it. They will be more – they will be more run-heavy than – than we've seen in the past, but like they were run, you know, Roman was super run heavy in Baltimore and Lamar Jackson still put up crazy numbers. I get it. Mm. Herbert is not the runner that Lamar Jackson is, but Herbert's not a nothing in the run game. Like, they're not going
to
not throw. Like, I mean, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, he's still Justin Herbert. I think the hate on Justin Herbert's gone too far, is my point.
3 years ago, he finished as the number two quarterback in fantasy, and I'm not sure, like, you just have to project that team with, like, Malik Nabers on it or Roman Dunze, whoever they're going to end up taking. Like, they will presumably go receiver.
I'm not convinced they will.
Is that right?
Yeah, really, nah. I think that's
wrong,
obviously.
Quentin Johnson,
They'll go receiver, just maybe not round
we
one.
Don't know if it'll be at five.
Right, yeah. Maybe not at round one.
Surely you cannot go. It's going to be Quentin Johnston and not much else.
Maybe a round two player.
Wow. What's the hate for Darius Davis?
Not a Josh Palmer guy?
Yeah.
Yourself?
I like Josh Palmer.
Yeah.
Josh Palmer has time. I just, that's jarring to go, to have a year of Justin Herbert's prime.
Like, it's pretty crazy.
They're all in. Like, they've got the restructures for Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa. The offensive line is in much better shape than it seems like it's been for the Chargers since, like, pre-Phil Rivers. Like, this team is in to win now. Jim Harbaugh didn't go there to finish third in the division. And if they're going in with that wide receiver situation. But I guess Herbert, the sneaky thing with Herbert is what he can do with his legs.
Yeah, but by the way, here's the other thing. Like, if you're the Chargers, if you're Joe Ortiz, friend of the podcast, the new general manager of your Los Angeles Chargers of Anaheim, is I wonder if
it's not about a home.
Yeah,
they play SoFi Stadium.
That's how I refer to it. But in all seriousness, like if somebody's desperate for Neighbors or there's a quarterback there at five, if you're the Chargers, do you say like, hey, we'll trade back to wherever
they will
and get instead of Neighbors or Odunze, we'll get Brian Thomas. You know what I mean? Or we'll get we could get Mitchell. We could get whatever. McConk, can we get Pearsall in the second, maybe? You know, like, I mean, there's like, it's such a deep wide receiver draft, and they want to be so run heavy.
I think there is also an organizational thing of we just took a wide receiver in the first round last year, and so to double, even though that's not the right way to think about it.
The problem is that group didn't.
True, they didn't.
That's the tricky, that's what makes it tricky.
True.
Right. But, I mean, I don't know how much the, Spanos is, how much the owner is going to say anything, but yes, they took a wide receiver in round one last year, and that wide receiver did not work out.
Yeah.
It was a tough year for Quentin Johnson.
And hopefully in year two, he bounces back.
Can't close the book on him entirely yet.
Right, exactly.
I think that's not yet, but
friend of the show as well, so we'll be cheering for him.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Remember when he came on the show?
Las Vegas.
Oh, cute.
You were there.
Yeah. I might have been hungover. I don't remember that.
Might
one.
Have been?
Yeah.
I have
probably.
No, just kidding.
Fair enough. Well, I was wandering the streets of Vegas looking for my boys because I got bailed on. Like, whatever. No,
major double takes. Like, we did interview Quentin Johnston, right? Yeah, we did. Yeah, he was lovely. He was really good.
It's a long
he was a nice guy. Yeah. He was a nice guy.
That's it for us.
Yeah. All right. There you go. We've talked about it all.
You like the show? Good show today?
Sure.
Yeah,
absolutely. Welcome back, me. Hey, all right. So, hey, that music means it's closing time. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. Go check out Bet the Edge, where Connor cheats on me blatantly in front of my face, rubs it in my face. For Connor and Jay, the two cheaters, I'm Matthew. We'll see you next time. Peace out.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet.
Well, then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.